KETR presents Texas Scribes, featuring literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas. Welcome to a reading by Sherry Gardner.
Alone at the End of the Row, prose poetry by Carol Rose Allen. Granny. The rough-hewn kitchen of our little house is cold until my grandmother warms it with her presence and with her bright, twinkling blue eyes. Her face is wrinkled from the many ailments that she's endured: typhoid fever, a burst appendix, and a severe kick by a mule. She wears her long gray hair, once thick and auburn, in a double braid wrapped around her head, held in place by hairpins. She always arises before dawn to see the sunrise and to drink coffee in peace. She is the glue that sticks our lives together. I wake to a kitchen already made warm and cozy with fresh-made biscuits, hen eggs from her chickens, sausage and bacon. When I must rise at 5:30 to walk to the Yarbroughs to catch the school bus, and I'm just too sleepy to eat, we pretend I'm a baby bird, having my mouth stuffed with worms. Or she makes me oatmeal instead. She fills my bowl with hot steaming oatmeal, brown sugar, and milk from our Jersey cow Flag, so named because of the white top knot between her ears. Then she crumbles a crispy bacon strip and stirs it in. "Alligators are swimming around in here," she says. "Better eat them before they get away." Dipping my spoon in, smiling, I capture one and crunch its skull. Granddaddy. My grandfather, born of Danish immigrants, is a hard man with fierce brown eyes, his 6'2" frame devoid of anything but skin and bones, hands as knotty and as gnarled as any bristlecone pine tree. His face is the color and texture of tanned rawhide. Dedicated to the land, to hard work, and to his family, Granddaddy is a sun-up to sundown kind of man, strong, silent, stern, stoic, and stubborn. He likes to sit in the kitchen in the afternoon, drinking little sips of warmed-over coffee and eating butter and sugar sandwiches cut into bite-sized pieces. Sometimes at noon we have mashed potatoes. He carefully flattens them, makes deep furrows with his knife, sows his seeds of black pepper in the neat rows, covers them with his fork, and waters them with gravy. After I do the same in my plate, he inspects my feels. We share our secret smile. In rare talks with me about his life, I learn of frostbitten ears, of traveling many days as a boy across the seemingly unending expanse of the Nebraska and Kansas plains, of beautiful singing voices floating across that sea of grass, accompanied by the rhythm of the rails as the train laps up the miles. But by far his most beloved memory is watching Buffalo Bill ride out on the prairie. How straight and tall he sat in the saddle, the measure of a man in his estimation. I wish I knew his thoughts and feelings, hopes and dreams, what he really felt, but I don't. I have an impression of him as a man to be reckoned with, but by the time I knew him, he was an old man who had lived his life and was left with only reflection and perhaps regret. Still, if he is the standard by which I must measure the men in my life, most will be hard-pressed to meet his mark. Under the tree. Tramping along behind in my toboggan cap and rubber boots that go squish-squish with every step, I remember the old forest, still and deep, the clean cedar smell perfuming the air. Up ahead, my grandfather, double-edged axe on his shoulder, and my brother David are heading across the fields to find our Christmas tree. Sensing our approach, the ancient trees hold their branches close to the ground to protect their young from our murderous intentions. Granddaddy swings his axe at the tree, chips flying. The little tree caves, buckles, and falls under the assault. Lifting the prickly tree carefully but gingerly, Granddaddy starts for home, leaving David struggling with the heavy axe and me scampering after red berries and boughs for the trimmings. With prize in hand, exuberant, we trek the long way home with our new Christmas tree. Out come our ancient ornaments with popcorn and cranberries strung, lights hung and tinsel flung. Our holiday season begins. Like every other Christmas that I can remember, it never seems to come, and the long agonizing wait drags on. On Christmas Day, I rush out of bed to find only one present with my name on it. My brother rips his open to reveal a pair of black socks. Inside mine is a 29-cent package of foam hair rollers, pink. I realize that this is Christmas. No oranges, no apples, no divinity, fudge, or date nut loaf. Under the tree, one present remains, small and crudely wrapped in a brown paper sack by someone unaccustomed to such matters. On the outside, in the beautifully hand-scrolled writing of my grandfather, is the word Maydella. I stare at it, mesmerized. He has never spoken it aloud. On the inside of the hastily wrapped package lies a 25-cent Dell paperback novel, an Earl Stanley Gardner mystery, her favorite. It contains something else, love shining, if only for an instant. Glimpse of a father. My father began leaving while I was still in the womb. Only the fear of my 65-year-old grandfather and his revolver kept him from leaving until I was born. Maybe he was sorry. I know he came at least once to see us. I remember sitting next to him on the dusty front seat of his black car, with the sun shining through the window, highlighting his hat and the sleeve of his coat. Maybe he was telling us goodbye as we sat on that dusty front seat. I don't know. I just remember my mother running from the house, pulling us from the car, hysterically screaming, "Duel, you can't take them!" Maybe the car slowly turned and he took one long, sad last look at us before leaving. I don't know. All I know is that the white-plumed dust cloud lingered for a while in the noonday sun and that he never came back.
You've been listening to Texas Scribes. Today's selection from Alone at the End of the Row, prose poetry by Carol Rose Allen, was read by Sherry Gardner. Texas Scribes features literary works by the authors of Northeast Texas and can be heard each Friday morning on KETR.